Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll ask you to hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, but if you want to jot the phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today from the Grants Pass City Council. But before we get into anything, this is Election Day, and if you haven't voted, go ahead and vote. There is plenty of time between now and 8 o'clock this evening to get those ballots in. And we might be talking a bit about that this morning, but in the meantime, you can hear your vote count this evening about 8 o'clock. We'll be live from the courthouse at about 7:30 and at 8 o'clock, and after that, follow Sam Marsh right here in studio relaying those results to you. All right. All that being said, welcome to the microphones today. Grants Pass City Councilors DJ Fazer and Rick Riker are in studio today. And gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Glad to have you with us.
Good morning.
Thank you for having us, Chuck.
Oh, absolutely. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and that's when we traditionally have you in. And since it's Election Day and there is a measure on the ballot about city law enforcement, any feedback on that right now?
I haven't received any feedback, no.
My general gut feeling is in the community that they will be supportive of it, but I have no other direct feedback.
All right. Any feedback on the turnout for the election? Because at last report, which was yesterday afternoon about 4:30, only about 25% of the ballots had been returned. And with no personalities on the ballot this time, it looks like it's going to be a very, very low turnout. I think we're going to be lucky to hit 30%. Is there a way to get that higher to let people really know?
One thing that really disturbs me is when you have a mail-in ballot and all they have to do is mark it, and it was just one check mark, and then mail it in, and you're only getting 20 or 30% of the people responding. And then of those people, you'll have the for and you'll have the against. And that small minority will make the decision for the whole community, and I think that's sad. I heard of some country the other day that had a voter turnout of 75%, and that was just, I think it was for a national election, and to me that's amazing to see the participation.
Right. Well, usually bodies or personalities really drive that voter turnout. We have no personal people on the agenda right now. There are three items on the ballot this time, and you only get to vote for one. The three items are in your voter's pamphlet. You still only get to vote for one. And the city, that's the renewal, the law enforcement levy at $1.79. But that's a valid point, Rick. Is there a way to make that turnout better? Do we need to go back to marching into the polls and casting your ballot?
That's an interesting comment, because I spoke to somebody the other day, and they felt that going to the polls was a social event, and that actually people were willing to go to the polls, and it would be interesting to go back to it and see if you went to the polls, would you actually have a higher turnout, which I think would be a real advantage.
Personally, I always like going to the polls and wearing my little I voted button as I came out, and I knew that I'd taken some steps to at least let my voice be known, and it doesn't feel that way anymore. DJ, you have any thoughts?
I find the narrow turnout a little bit surprising, given that council has put forward a great effort for information on the levy and the particular importance of it this time around, given that we are facing having to find new revenue sources for public safety. We've put information on the website. We've had public forums. Rick orchestrated a wonderful public forum last week about information about revenue sources for public safety. And so given that, I would have expected a little bit more attention and turnout in the ballot this year.
All right. Tell me about that forum, Rick. What did you see there?
We had a meeting of both city staff, the councilors, and then we had selected individuals in the community there. We had five areas that we looked at. We looked at the food and beverage tax. We looked at the general fund, and these were the plus and minuses, the utility fee, the levy, and then the sales tax.
All right. Did one weigh a little heavier than the others?
No, that was not the purpose. It was informational gathering. And I have a list here of the strengths and weaknesses, if you'd like me to express those.
So let's follow through on that. That might raise a question or two, because this is the last chance they'll have to ask questions, pro or con, about what's going to happen tonight at the polls.
Okay, so on the food and beverage tax, strengths and weaknesses, I'll only highlight on three of each. The strength would be voluntary. It worked in Ashland, and the source of revenue would be tourists and visitors. On the weakness, previously landslide no vote by constituents. It was felt there could be a discouragement of business growth, and somebody said an entertainment tax would be better. On the general fund, the flexibility of the general fund, also minimal viewable impact of public perceived by the services. Weaknesses, general fund, limited resource, lack of public awareness of services. That's been a major issue. And the long-range impact for short-term decision. Utility fee spreads funding across the citizens, not just homeowners. Increase in revenue is ample and can be immediate. Can help retain current public safety staff. Weakness would be it's disproportional for commercial business. It's a mandate instead of voluntary, and it makes a higher burden on the utility fee. On the levy, which is up for vote right now, the voters have the ability to voice their accountability to how the city's being run. Also, it's a tool that can communicate to the public on a routine basis. On the weakness for the levy, it's not permanent. It creates uncertainty for public safety and creates employee turnover because of that. The last item is sales tax. The strength would be discretion to spend or not to spend. In other words, you have your choice whether you want to buy.
You get to make the decision.
Right. Yeah. You get to make the decision. And it was expressed that it's fair. It applies to everybody. And also, you have additional resource of the tourist paying. On the weakness side, software and calculations are difficult to come by. Also, there can be confusion. And the last question is what goods would be taxed and so forth, an understanding of that. So that is a sampling of what was produced by that meeting. It was not a decision. It was just an informational gathering.
All right. You mentioned the general fund. Now, I understand the general fund is almost depleted in terms of what monies are available for law enforcement. So you said there was some confusion there, can you explain that particular situation? If we go back to the general fund, what are we talking about?
DJ was on that team, and I would like him to respond on that.
Step up, big guy.
Oh, sure. You know, we have to realize that the general fund, you know, it's also known as council discretionary fund, right? And many of those monies go to public safety and parks and et cetera. And over the past 10, 13 years, somewhere like that, we have been bridging the funding gap for public safety utilizing the general fund. And that has put us into a circumstance where there is basically no general fund left over to invest in capital projects, for example, or parks. For example, that's all been utilized towards public safety now. So in looking for other revenue sources, there's a potential to realize some funds out of the general fund that could go towards capital projects. And I think it's really important to understand that if we alleviate some of those funds, what should we be spending those funds on? Or if we should continue to help bridge the gap in public safety with some potentially new realized general fund dollars. We know now that that's not a sustainable mechanism because that fund is a limited source and it's down to virtually nothing now. So it's certainly deserving in the conversation of what should the general fund truly be utilized to accomplish.
Is there a segment out there that says, regardless of what I do, the council will find the money to do this anyway? So is there a credibility situation here that you're looking at?
I think we're all concerned about that credibility circumstance. Mm-hmm. It really is. You know, there are funding mechanisms that can be applied through the will of the council and not of the voters. For example, the utility fee, sales tax, et cetera. Those can be implemented without authorization, per se, of the voters. So we're hyper aware of that, and we are faced with the circumstance that we need to provide this community with public safety, And it's coming to the point where, by any means necessary, we need to find this revenue. And hence the informational campaigns and the forums that we've been trying to do to inform the public as best as possible that we are certainly in a circumstance that requires some tough decisions.
Tough decisions lie ahead, and part of those decisions will be made after tonight's election. As soon as this election is certified, we'll know which direction we're headed. But that direction is still a little murky in that we're talking about a public safety utility fee. Now, that goes basically on your water bill, folks, people within the city. Also realize that the funding coming up for the water plant also is going to be added on to that bill. How high can my utility bill go before we say enough is enough?
That's a really good point, Chuck. You know, there's a bandwidth of the ability to pay the utility fee that we're aware of. And you just mentioned two very important things for this community: public safety and clean water. And
both of those, and
I think it's deserving in the conversation when we talk about guarding revenue for public safety with the utility fee, because we need a new water treatment plant. That's a fact. And the current revenue source has been marked as the utility bill to satisfy that bond. And we need to be aware of the bandwidth, the capability of the people to pay for these services.
All right. That being said, regardless of the up or down vote for this $1.79 levy in the city, there will be additional monies needed over that $1.79 to fund public safety. So if we are talking about the utility bill, that's going to happen. But we also know that within the city of Grants Pass, there are a great many retired people living on that fixed income. Is there a way to relieve that stress on those few? Has that been talked about?
Well, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be having a workshop on public safety and what direction we want to go with the funding. And one of the comments made in the meeting that we had, instead of hitting just one segment, maybe we need to look at the idea of taking a little bit from each sector. Maybe there's a small sales tax. Maybe there's a little bit on the utility bill and so forth. Yeah, so the jury is still out on that. I'm fully supportive of public safety. We need more people in the department to handle the situation we have in Grants Pass now. And I feel the council is supportive of that direction. The biggest challenge we're going to have is figuring out how to come up with the money to support that and make sure that we have a funded public safety.
All right. My question, I want to go back to that. It's specifically for the widow out there living on a fixed income who is going to see her utility bill maybe double, maybe triple by the time we get the water treatment plant added into that. Is there a way to alleviate the stress on her, or is there going to be a forgiveness? Is there going to be an umbrella?
Okay.
Has that been talked about?
Yes. There's a couple aspects there. One thing is the water plant itself, we have enough rate increases at this time to cover the new water treatment plant. And we have funding coming in from different sources that we feel, of course, the final bill is not there for the final plant, but at this time we feel the funding will be there, so we don't see any more water increases per se. The other aspect, yes, we are sensitive that when you add more to the water bill that it affects the person on unlimited income, and that's why we would like to look at different avenues. But we also have a provision within the city that if you're on low income, you can come in for financial help. And
so there is an avenue for that person to seek some relief.
Yes.
Or at least that's the plan.
Yes.
Okay.
The thing that bothers me, a lot of these people are so proud, they will never ask for that assistance, even though it's there.
Well, I know there is some of that, and we know where that pride comes from, and we salute them for that.
Yes.
But if you need help, there's help available. Okay. That's certainly a relief. But we're really not sure where that's going to go yet, because we know there's a possibility of the other options that you outlined there, food and beverage tax, sales tax, and those things can be implemented without a vote of the people. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Do we have a feel for which way the council is leaning yet? Because I know all of those options have been talked about.
I think that's why we have this session coming up where all the options will be on the table. And my position has been, when we're looking at public safety, we need to know what are all the options, so when we make a decision, it can be fair.
All right. When is that coming up? You said there's a session coming up specifically for this?
November 13th.
November 13th at the City Council.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Is that on the agenda for that date?
Yep. It is.
It is. Okay. All right. If people want to give information prior to that or during that council meeting, that's certainly possible. You can call probably either one of these gentlemen here.
Oh, yes, please. We're, you know, on the regular basis, we are asking for constituent inputs to help guide our decisions for the will of the community. But even more so now, we're pining for constituent input. We need to pay for this. We are coming to a point that we have to realize how we are going to fund public safety. And the more input, the better.
I got a phone call from one constituent, and he said, well, if we cannot afford it, then we have to cut back. But my contingency, or my feeling, is you cannot cut back. We need police, and we have very, very good policemen here. They're trained. They're professional. We don't want to lose them, and it's hard to find good policemen today. It's even hard to find policemen or people that want to be policemen. So once you go backwards, my contention is we'll never regain what we lost. So I don't want to lose anybody.
Let me echo that, because the Grants Pass Police Department from top to bottom is professional and well-led and well-trained. Salute there, certainly. In the meantime, has the council considered any other alternatives? Are there other areas to look to cut?
That's a good segue, because in the options of garnering revenue, we have to also understand that one of the options is don't garner that revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying that we are entertaining that option, but that is a realistic option. Any more reduction, as I'm told, in services from public safety will almost certainly manifest in loss of personnel at this point. As I know you're aware, we've cut almost $4 million out of their budget, and we've done that very tactfully. We've done it through reduction of services or alleviating allocations from the general fund to different departments to then reallocate those funds into public safety. And we've reached the point where we are just about out of other things to cut in public safety, of personnel.
And that's budget-wide.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that's not just out of public safety. That is the entire city's budget.
Sure. Yeah, and it's really important to realize that, you know, when you fund one, you need to fund the others. When you cut one, you need to cut the others. We can't just focus on alleviating or funding just one. We need to look at it as in a holistic perspective. What about parks? What about community development? What about public works, et cetera? So this is a... You know, once you dig into it, you realize the implications of our decisions right now are quite important for the greater health of the city.
All right. Can you look into your crystal ball and forecast what's going to happen for this city? What's a 10-year outlook? Rick shaking his head in a negative manner.
Well, the thing that bothers me is you look at Seattle, Portland, and other major cities, and that what they're experiencing will start trickling down to smaller cities, and I don't want to go there. So is the world going to change? Do things change? The economy changes and everything changes. Do we have a crystal ball and tell what's going to be out there 2 years from now? No. But I know what we have now, and I don't want to lose it.
All right. Let me follow up on that just a little bit. Those things that you happen said that you stated are happening in major cities in Portland, and that's trickling down to here. It looks to me like we've got a little of that trickle down here already. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. In a minor way, I think. I don't think it's been real major. The thing is, in Portland, you're seeing businesses leaving and people leaving Portland. So it's not the city it used to be, and I don't want to go there. So, yes, there's people coming in the community that should not be in here. Unfortunately, with Measure 110, it makes things really difficult. We're trying to get that changed in the legislature now, so it gives more authority to our policemen.
What kind of input has the council had in the legislature so far? Have we made trips north, or are we talking to just our local representatives there? Have we written letters? What steps have been taken?
Well, as far as the local representative, I think they understand well what this community desires. And in that level, and having communication with the leadership in the community, sure. But on an official level, there has not been much from a unified council to attempt to input or direct legislation, except for recently we've put together a letter that demonstrates the negative implications of Measure 110 in our community. That's worded in favor of either amending or repealing 110 based on what's happened in our community as a repercussion of Measure 110.
Has that letter been delivered?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Any feedback from that letter yet?
Not that I know of, no.
Okay. Would you expect any at this point with the legislature not in session?
No, I wouldn't expect it. Hopefully that sparks some more conversation and perhaps attention to the smaller communities in the south end of the state, right? Because we're not alone in that, but our voice is important. And at the very least, if we have some input and we're listened to, hopefully we can get at least that far at this point.
Now, other municipalities have done much the same thing. Is that right? Have we followed suit, or are we a leader there? What's going on?
I wouldn't say that we're a leader in it, no, but we are among a great number of other communities that have participated in the attempt to repeal.
All right. Boy, this first half hour is just flying by here. I got to take a little break here and get caught up. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to KAJO Radio, and let's remind you that our guests today are city councilors Dwight Frazier and Rick Riker. They are in studio right now. The phone number is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue, and as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And we've had somebody holding on throughout all the news. We appreciate their patience if they're still there, so let's hope. Let's say good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
Yes. I have a comment to make about why we should vote yes on the sheriff's we're voting for investigations. We need to investigate all. And there are people that don't want to be investigated.
I understand that, sir.
This is, yes. And we need to investigate them.
All right. Was that your comment, sir?
That is my comment.
All right. Well, I thank you very much for your patience and your ears this morning. Anything further, sir?
No. That's a very important point. I'd like to.
All right. Well, once again, we thank you. Thank you very much for your participation here. I'm not sure which part of the ballot he was talking about. He did mention county. We are talking city right now. Once again, county voters outside of the city limits of Grants Pass are voting on the sheriff's law enforcement district. That's a permanent tax of 99 cents per thousand. Here in the city, we are voting on a five-year levy at $1.79 per thousand. That's just for city voters only, and we have city councilors in studio today. But your phone calls are certainly welcome, because I'm sure our councilors would respond if you have a specific question. Once again, it's 541-472-1270. Rick, you just want to weigh in on this, don't you?
One of the budget positions that was put on hold with the budget cuts before was a detective position for the public safety. So we're looking for and evaluating if we can restore that position with new funding.
All right. Yeah. When you nod your head, they can't see that on the radio.
Thank you for reminding me, Chuck. Yeah, and just to build on that, I think that his comment about investigation is true for both the city limits and the county.
Probably right? True for both, yes.
Also considering what Rick had said, you know, but we also need to be cognizant of our intergovernmental agreements. These law enforcement agencies work together. We investigate in the county. The county assists us when we're in need. And so, you know, it's important to see that as even though they're separate departments, we work together for the public safety of the entire county. And so one doesn't get funded and one does, right? That will have implications on both departments. It's really important to remember that.
All right. And certainly a great point to be brought up here. However, we're dealing specifically with the city side of things right now, and we have open positions that have not been filled due to funding right now. We mentioned a detective's position. Are there other areas that we have open positions for that we're waiting to see if we can fill or not? Do we have that information?
I think we'll have that information the 13th.
Okay. And we're talking about the 13th. That's the next city council meeting. And this will be on their agenda. We expect a long night, do we not?
Sure. That'll be a workshop. So that'll be Monday.
That'll be Monday afternoon?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Didn't have a calendar here in front of me. But let's see. Oh, and our other news person said thank you for not having a workshop yesterday.
You're welcome.
At any rate, we've been talking, obviously, about the election coming up today. And once again, you're reminded to go out and vote. And remember that you can hear your vote count tonight on KJO Radio. We'll be at the courthouse at 7:30 and at 8 o'clock with those latest results. And you can hear them count here right up until probably about 9 o'clock with Sam Marsh. And we've got another call coming in right now. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question or comment for our guests?
I do. I have a question. The public safety has been augmented for the last several years by general fund dollars. If the levy passes and you go to the utility bill, will that money return? Will that money be withheld by the general fund in the future?
That's a good question. I think that it really depends on how much revenue is garnered through whatever source, using the utility bill as an example right now. Council would have the option to alleviate some of those general fund dollars to spend on other things, but that really depends on how much the utility fee is going to be. And it's really deserving in the conversation. Does council want to continue utilizing its general fund down to the $0 to fund public safety, or do we need to fund public safety with another revenue source and actually have some general fund for other projects? So that's an excellent question.
All right, Rick, did you want to weigh in on that? Rick says no. Do you have is that adequate, sir? Do you want to follow up?
No, I think that answers the question. It seems like it's but it's a choice that is that a choice that the council has, or is that made by the city manager?
The authority for that decision will be entirely on the shoulders of council.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for your call and your years, sir. We appreciate that. Once again, the number 541-472-1270. We've been talking extensively about what's happening at the ballot box today, and of course, your choice to mark however you want on your ballot, regardless of which of the three that you're voting for. It's one for the city, one for the county, and one, I think, for the Applegate Fire District out there. So you can only vote on one of those today, folks. Only one. Let's move on to another area, unless people want to call in and ask about, because this is your opportunity, be it yay or nay, for the city public safety levy. Now, let's talk about where we stand right now with our injunction with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Do we have any progress to report on the injunction? How are things going in the city parks? On the news, we hear daily that there are patrols there. It seems things seem to be under control, but it's taking a lot of the public safety resources right now just to monitor this situation.
It truly is. Specifically regarding the lawsuit, we are still waiting for the federal Supreme Court to decide whether they're going to take our case. We have a lot of evidence that would suppose that they would and should. So we're pretty much stuck in a holding pattern when we specifically regarding the injunction. You know, we implemented time, place, and manner restrictions to what our legal team thought would be appropriate buffer zones and those kind of different things, which has marginally helped, but we still have people sleeping in our parks and, you know, abusing that privilege, as I'm sure everybody knows. And you're correct in the statement that it is a burden on our public safety, and they are spending a lot of time trying to manage our parks because of the injunction.
All right, Rick, you were jotting some notes down. You want to jump in on this one?
Well, one thing about the lawsuit that may help the review by the federal courts, we have other cities now are coming on board with our lawsuit, and that helps elevate it in the eyes of the Supreme Court. If we're just there by ourselves, it's one thing, but if we're there with other cities, also there's a legal term, I forget what it is, when they come alongside of us as well.
Well, this is national eyes are on this lawsuit right now, right now, including Governor Newsom of our neighboring California has weighed in on this also, and he got the same treatment from the Ninth Circuit Court that we did when we went up to there to ask for clarification. At any rate, so nothing new to report. Do we don't have any time frame yet for the court to either decide to hear it or to hear it?
Unfortunately, no, we don't.
Okay, do we?
The only thing we've heard is they could hear it as early as this spring.
This spring. So we've got another winter to go through. All right, so how are we going to get through this winter right now? Is there talk among the council about warming centers or that low barrier housing? What are we talking about here? Is there anything the council can do to alleviate the situation even more?
Sure. We've had a discussion about a warming shelter for this season. That was followed by a request from UCAN. They don't have the revenue to keep it going, but they've offered staffing for that. And council has tacitly agreed to utilize ARPA money to fund having a shelter open with the agreement that UCAN would operate that warming shelter. But that only gets us through this winter, right? And I think it's... You know, I think it's a necessity that we have, given the circumstances in the community, to have this warming shelter available for people.
Right. Oh, how much money are we talking? Do we know?
$68,000.
It sounded like a question, right?
$68,000.
There you go. Okay, I got the right inflection on that. So $68,000 is available. What's our relationship with UCAN? All right. Oh, boy, I got some smiles out of that one. And dead silence over there. Did you hear the crickets, ladies and gentlemen? All right, well, we'll pursue that one another time. In the meantime, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, and we hope you'll continue. We'll be right back after this word. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. Guest in studio today, City Councilors Rick Riker and DJ Fazer, both here answering our questions. We've been on some pretty heavy topics, including what's going to happen to your bills, where the tax money is going to come from to fund public safety, and the levy that you'll be voting on today. Hopefully you vote on it today. Certainly make your voice known. Either drop that in the mail as soon as possible or drop it at anyone. I think there are five or six drop boxes around the area where you can drop it off. Two at the city, two at the courthouse, one on each side and one up at the clerk's office. And we'll be there this evening to count those ballots as they come in. In the meantime, are there other areas that your constituents are talking to you about? DJ, what are people talking about right now? We've talked about homelessness and we've talked about public safety. Are there any other topics out there that people are interested in?
Oh, that truly is the focal point of communication between council and the constituency. Our public comment is almost entirely regarding usage of our parks and the homelessness circumstance and public safety. That's what people are talking about right now.
All right. Can you get a feel for where the public stands right now just from the questions that you get asked?
If I was forced into one word, it'd be frustration. Mm-hmm. People are frustrated with this circumstance. We're desperate for solutions. And the frustration goes all around in that we just talked about the injunction. Our hands are tied. There is a certain way that we have to treat this circumstance until satisfaction is reached through, hopefully, the federal Supreme Court of our country. And we're trying to do the things that we can do. And unfortunately, the frustration is spawned from not being able to do much about it.
All right. Rick, you want to weigh in on that same question? What are your constituents telling you? And are you echoing what Dwight is hearing?
I would echo the same. The thing that still bothers me, though, there's still a lack of understanding in the community how much our hands are tied by the injunction. Because people keep coming up with ideas, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And we don't want to disturb the validity of the injunction because then that could take away our authority.
So an interesting point to make is there's kind of a misunderstanding in the community that says if you build a shelter, then you won't have people in your parks. And unfortunately, that's not true. Now, theoretically, if you had a shelter, you would have some people utilizing those services in the community. But the option to be in the park would still entirely be there. So the momentum for shelters and social services needs to come from wanting to help the people that would utilize those services, because it's entirely untrue to say that if we had enough beds or enough services that we could empty our parks of the people that are utilizing them to camp and sleep.
Should the Supreme Court rule in our favor, what does that mean? Are we still going to have people in our parks?
Theoretically, if they rule in the favor of Grants Pass, it'll go back to how we used to operate. And we meaning the state, we meaning the entire region, mm-hmm. right? This has created a circumstance where we are forced to allow this by people's right, right? The argument is an Eighth Amendment of our Constitution argument of cruel and unusual punishment, in that people have the right to sleep. And if they have nowhere else to sleep, well, then they may sleep on public lands. That's the argument. And I certainly hope that the Supreme Court would rule in our favor, as do many other cities, states in the region also hope, right? Now, there's been other communities that have acted in a certain way that would be directly contradictory to the injunction that Grants Pass is in, right? They've put up shelters and they've done quote-unquote sweeps of their parks, saying that they have services and therefore you can't. Well, that's working out well for them. They need to be very cautious, right? Because I don't suppose this will be this end-all lawsuit in this deal that we're dealing with as a region, as a nation, right? But the fact of the matter is Grants Pass cannot do that. It cannot do what those other communities are attempting to do, whether wise or not that they're doing that, because we have a federal injunction that explicitly keeps us from doing that.
We're basically under the microscope.
Correct.
We're being watched, and that time, manner, and place situation, I'm sure, was walked through with all of those guidelines in mind, and so far, so good. Rick, you're chomping at the bit to get in here.
Well, I think it goes beyond our hands are being tied. We're actually held hostage.
You're being held hostage by a homeless community here. This whole community is.
Yes, by the lawsuit. The city Grants Pass is held hostage.
All right. All that being said, no way out yet until the Supreme Court hears it. In the meantime, it's coping. And what would you advise your citizens to do? How do they cope? How do the people near Tussing Park cope? How do the people around Morrison Park cope? Is it a call to 911 every time something happens that's a little out of order?
We have coalitions of people that walk around the park for a manner of different reasons. Some people hand out food and shelter to people. Some people walk around with the idea that they are the eyes of the police, right, to try to assist the police in enforcing. Right, but that's a pretty dangerous line. If you read the newspaper, there's been some unfortunate circumstances that have happened with some of these coalitions of people when they decide to engage with homeless people in the park. So as far as coping with it, therein goes the frustration, right? Because we have people that live in these areas. We have people that have historically utilized these parks that can no longer live in peace or utilize the parks for what they were intended for. So coping with it is just exactly that. This is what we have to do, and I trust that our police are doing the absolute very best they can with the resources they have.
Well, I have certainly no qualms with the police department or their demeanor or their actions at this point. Now, the council at one point was considering licensing people going into the park who were supplying supposedly good things to the people, clean needles, passing out food. Has there been any action to that end? Now, we're looking at each other.
They go down there, you know, and we hear from different coalitions that think it's a bad idea. We hear different coalitions of people that think it's a really good idea. You know, one thing that we hear at public comment in business meetings is that our parks weren't designed for this. These areas weren't designed from this. You know, and whereas the coalitions that are supplying, you know, food and help from these people, they come from a good place, right? But there's negative implications in the communities that they operate. But unfortunately, that is just a manifestation of the circumstance that we are in this community. You know, we cannot, by federal law, keep these people from handing out food and services to these people, nor me as an individual, as a counselor, would I want to try to do that. So they have every right to provide these services for these people, but it's garnering more frustration throughout the community. It truly is.
All right, gentlemen, I have about 3 minutes left here. So, Rick, I'm going to give you the first minute and a half of those 3 minutes and let you tell the people what they should take away from today's program. If you want to tell them how to vote today, I don't care if you do that or not, or at least encourage them to vote. You've got a minute and a half.
Okay. I would encourage people to support the levy, the $1.79. Public safety needs that as a base. We need to go further. We, as a council, are looking for input from the constituency to different ideas, and we felt that the session we had the other day was very informative. The council on the 13th will be having a workshop discussing this, and I see that all methods are on the table as candidates for funding, and input from the community would be helpful for us in our decisions as we go forward.
All right. If I may paraphrase, all of the options for funding public safety are still on the table, regardless of what happens at the ballot box today. And you should make your thoughts known to your city councilor and give Rick a call, and I'm sure he'll take your call. All right. DJ, you got about a minute and a half to 2 minutes here.
Sure. If I can encourage anybody in this community to just inform themselves, spend the time to inform themselves of the issues going on in this community, because I think information and education is paramount to understanding the circumstances that we're in, whether it's the injunction or the water treatment plant or public safety. Regarding public safety, any and all information that anybody would desire is on the city website, right? And it's designed in such a way where you could spend a few minutes with it and gain a superficial understanding of what's going on, or you could spend hours with it to really get into the deep details of what's going on with revenue and public safety. So that would be it. If anybody listening would just spend the time to inform themselves, because that is, it's so very important. Mm-hmm. And if you're so compelled, after you inform yourself, please contact your city council. Encourage us the way that the direction that you want this community going.
All right, and best way to do that?
You can reach us by email, mayorcouncil@grantspassoregon.gov. That will reach every one of us, including the mayor and the city manager.
All right, thank you very much. Rick, you just got to nod your head and say thank you very much. All right, gentlemen, we want to thank you very much for your time and enlightening program. We thank you very much for your time and expertise here on KAJO Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, today is Election Day. You're encouraged to vote and then hear your vote count tonight right here on KJO Radio. We'll be live from the courthouse at 7:30 and at 8 o'clock with the very latest that we can provide to you. And following that, Sam Marsh will cover up here until about 9 tonight. Have you?